This podcast is brought to you by ThrottleNet. ThrottleNet can provide world-class managed IT services and IT support to your business. They're St. Louis's highest-rated outsourced IT company, and there's many different ways ThrottleNet can help with your business's operation and digital protection. Check them out at ThrottleNet.com.
For podcast articles and more, find us on NewstalkSTL.com.
Good afternoon. Welcome into the Tim Jones and Chris Sarp show with Joey Vasevich on the wheels of steel. It is Friday, July 21st, 2023, 4:06 in the p.m. Boy, do we have lots of breaking bombshell news to talk about and dissect for you all, from the Biden criminal crime family to so much more. But first of all, Chris Sarps, boy, did we have a fantastic birthday bash at Johnny's Hideout yesterday.
We did. It is the day after, and I tell you, I want to recommend most definitely, of course, Johnny's Hideout. Go out there, have good food, good time. But specifically, the, I can't think of it, the Vic's drink.
The Thunder Stealer.
Oh, I had several Thunder Stealers.
That's why you can't remember.
Exactly. I highly, highly recommend the Vic Porcelli drink, the Thunder Stealer. It's very good. It's inversion vodka and Red Bull. It's a nice mixture there.
Ken Thunder Stealer.
There it is. You got to make a... Jimmy needs to make a new one that has something to do with the drink now. Yeah. You know, something about drink the Thunder Stealer or something.
Oh, yeah. I was imagining the sounds of, like, shaking it up in the ice and the stirring.
Yes. Joey, what a great live remote you put together for us. It sounded...
Great job.
So I was who was I talking to today, Joey? Somebody asked me about... Darn it, where was I this afternoon? I was with somebody... I went to see my chiropractor this morning, Dr. Pat Fader.
They're always behind you, right? You never look them in the face.
Yeah, exactly.
I don't know who
was
back there.
Yeah. Tapping on your back. So Doc Fader, first of all, said he was so sorry he couldn't come out to Johnny's because he loves Johnny's. Mm-hmm. But he had to work yesterday and had some other projects to do. But he said he listened to us. And Joey, he said the broadcast sounded, other than the crowd every once in a while and you guys saying where you were, your sound was perfect. He said it sounded like you were in the studio. He said you weren't getting chatter on the mics. I said that's because we were wearing those NFL style headsets, and we could hear ourselves really well, and we had that great stage and set up. And so huge compliment from the crowd who could not be there. He was bummed he couldn't be there, but thanks to everybody who showed up. What a great second birthday birthday bash we had. Thanks so much to Rick Pogue, Johnny Dallas, Jake Kestner, the owners of Johnny's Hideout. Thanks to all the wonderful staff at Johnny's. Thanks to all of you who showed up. Thank you to our advertisers, Jeff Allen and Joe Rush, for having the foresight, the perseverance to start a startup in the middle of a pandemic and basically throughout a recession over the last 3 years, and to keep the big bus rolling. We're so thankful and we're so proud to be part of Newstalk STL Nation.
Yeah, great time last night. All the other show hosts came out to celebrate the wonderful anniversary. And boy, that inversion drink, that is that is a really good drink. I like them.
So for those of you who were at Johnny's, you've had the Johnny's experience now. For those of you who were not able to make it for whatever reason, hopefully we told you enough about it and have pumped it up enough that you're going to go visit. We're not playing here. This place is everything that we've sold it to be. It is an experience. They have such great... The guy playing last night, I think his name was it Gary No? Was it Gary No, Joey? What was his name? I think it was Gary No or something like that.
It was, hey, get the heck out of our way. We're trying to set up
Live
music event.
That's for sure. He was fantastic. They have music like that every night, and eventually they're going to be bringing in some big national acts. It's a beautiful setting. The sunset was perfect last night. The food and the drinks are fantastic. Visit Johnny's Hideout this weekend. Thanks so much to Johnny's once again.
I found it very interesting that one of the early numbers the band played was Eric Clapton's Cocaine. And afterwards, I asked them, was that a tribute to Hunter Biden? So, and all of the band members, what's the name of the band again?
I thought it was the Gary No Band.
The Gary No Band.
I think it was. Somebody's going to have to correct me on that.
Every single, I'm not making this up, every single band member said that they listened to the show. And
no way.
Yes.
How cool.
So thank you to the band. Thank you to the great staff. Thank you to the listeners that we get a chance to meet in person. They get to put together a face with the voice. And I didn't get what I usually get, Tim. Usually it's, oh, I thought you were taller.
They always just say that to me. So, it was really cool. And we just appreciate you all so much. And, you know, when you put on these live remotes, especially on a day where it's... 88 degrees in July and people are on vacation, or it's too hot or too humid. It's like, is anybody going to show up? We've told them it's outside. We had a huge crowd, more than we thought. So many of our advertisers were there and stayed really late. Yeah. I had to get going at some point, but it was fun. We will do it again because Johnny and Jake and Rick, I think it's they love these live remotes. Mm-hmm. They think they're just fantastic.
So. Yeah, and the food is just fresh. The crack fries, mm-hmm. which I learned yesterday, Tim, is they are good. It's like you're on crack, you're addicted, but they're called crack fries because of crack pepper used on those fries.
Okay.
So,
very
cool creativity there with the food and with the naming.
So we will now shift gears as we are officially. Jim Modzlin pointed out to me, he goes, guys, we're now in year three. This is the official beginning of the third year of News Talk STL. That's wild to think about, but it's true. And we'll be flipping the calendar page soon to August, and we'll be heading into the fall and the winter, which means we've got lots more cool, fun listener activities and stuff for all of you in store. We've got the first presidential debate right around the corner. And if I had to guess, Tony Colombo is likely putting something together for that, because, Chris, we always used to do that back in the day at the old shop. We would have a really cool evening of dissecting and bisecting debates or primary nights or election nights. So that's coming up around
the bend.
We've
done that here. Remember, we've got that good Stefanina's Pizza.
Oh, that's right.
That was running. That's why I mainly remember, because I remember the pizza.
So I'll bet you we do that again. Yeah. I know we'll have special listener appreciation events for the holidays, which are right around the corner. And so much more. Speaker series is coming up with our partnership with the Hammond Institute and with the Show Me Institute. So stay tuned. I know we're going to have a jam-packed year three here at News Talk STL.
So are you saying that we got through the terrible twos?
I hope so.
We did have a flood, so.
Yeah, we did have a flood.
So we got through the terrible twos.
Yeah, the studio is destroyed, so I think that counts, doesn't it?
Yeah. little station that could.
Yes, we are. And talent from top to bottom, 5:30 in the morning out of the gates with the Mike Ferguson Show, followed by the NBA Personality of the Year. Yeah. Vic Porcelli and his sidekick, the Thunder Stealer, Ken Williams. The Dan Bongino program, Colombo and Katie, Jones and Arps, Larry Connors, USA. We've got Dr. Randy Tobler and Mystic Fix, Nick Schroer, all these other shows and guests and hosts. Mark McCloskey on fire.
Yeah.
So much great stuff. So many great commentators. We have two ladies who work for national publications, Susie Moore and Virginia Cruda. It's just, what an amazing station that literally, I shouldn't say came out of nothing, that was pulled together from about 50 different angles and put into one.
Yeah. So. And you know, one of the things, and I agree, one of the things that I was asking some of the listeners, it's great to meet them and they can put faces to the voices with us. But, you know, we also want you to call in. And I know that we've had people that they'll call in and they'll talk to Katie, but they don't want to go on air. I think I get offended by that a little bit, Tim. Come on, talk to us, too. Why does Katie get all the attention and Joey get all the attention? Mm-hmm. No, I'm just joking. But, yeah, you know, give us a call, 314-912-1019. You know, I often say that, you know, we're in this studio, in this room, and, you know, we're talking to each other, and sometimes you forget that you're talking to, you know, thousands of people sometime. And, you know, we'd love to have you call in and hear your voice and hear your views on some of the things that we discuss.
And as Jeff Allen has told us, Chris, I know that people are hanging literally on every word and they don't want to miss a beat. But in all seriousness, we do have a fast moving show. We do have a lot of guests, but we do to double down on what Chris said. We do want to hear from you. And so, you know, we always have this first segment open generally. So you can always call in this first, you know, 15, 18 minutes at 314-912-1019. You can call us after both Chris's corner and the speaker stump speech, because Chris and I don't take those entire segments. Mm-hmm. We have like a little shtick that we do for a few minutes, but the rest of those segments are open. So that's always 445 and 507. And then the last segment of the show at 545, we generally don't have a guest there. And so any of those open segments, it's half the show, right? First segment, third, fourth, and sixth. Give us a holler. Sometimes we got to cram in another guest or two because there may be a big week or big issue. But 314-912-1019 is the number. You can also, we do have a lot of great people that chat at us on the chat box every day. Chris, we've already got Scotty on there. Gene, Mean Gene's on there. Alexander's on there. Mm-hmm. Hello to everybody there. We love when you comment on Facebook as well. But don't be shy about calling in from time to time as well. Twitter, Rumble, all these great ways to communicate with us. Thank you for all the cooperation and collaboration. Yeah.
I want to hear your thoughts on Ramaswamy, who is surging in the polls. I read a poll today that he is in second place. How serious do you think he is to be president? Is he running to be Trump's vice presidential candidate or running mate? Is he running to heighten his profile and increase his wealth and his exposure in business? What's your thoughts on that? Chris Christie says that he is going to make the debate. Is that good or bad? Mm. Give us a call, 314-912-1019.
Ramaswamy gives the gives the impression that he is everywhere all the time. That guy, I feel like that guy's campaigning 24/7. I love his style. He's kind of Trump without the baggage. He really hits the media and the left right between the eyes. He's got such a great story to tell about his background and his personal story. And he talks to all Americans. He's like, look, if my family can do this, then you can do this. And we all can do this if we get government out of the way and stop pretending that government needs to do everything for us. Mm. Great guy.
Looks like, Tim, remember we've talked about RFK Jr., who has been taking 20, some polls, 30% of the vote away from Joe Biden. I think he's coming back down to earth. I think maybe some of the controversial statements that he has made, and then people started looking into his background. The latest poll says that he is down to 14% now. He's lost about 6% according to the average. And I'm wondering, is he dropping because of his statements and other things that he has said in the past? Or is it because for a while there, Republicans are still embracing him? I said something the other day where a lot of people that were considered themselves Republicans, when they looked at Robert F. Kennedy's campaign reports, had given to Republicans in the past. So it'd be curious to know which one is it. Is he too close to Republicans, or do they think he's cuckoo for Cocoa Puffs? Or both?
And it's amazing because, you know, I like some of the things RFK says, Jr. says. On some issues, I do think he's way out there in left field. If he would dial it back a little bit on some of the crazy crap, I think he'd be more of a threat. It is interesting that Democrats, they're apparently worried about him enough to attack him in a congressional hearing, right? Mm-hmm. They went after him pretty hard, pretty vicious. Yeah. And, you know, it's probably no mistake that all this is happening while poll after poll after poll that's come out over the last 5 to 7 days has Joe Biden way underwater on the approval disapproval, including two polls. You can find a poll or two that has him at 42-44%. But Chris, in the last week, a CNBC poll came out that had him at 39%, Joe Biden. And a Quinnipiac poll, which generally leans to the left, has him at 40%. So Biden is struggling as Politico stories are coming out talking about how he can't walk up the stairs anymore to Air Force One, and he's got to wear sneakers because if he wears dress shoes, he'll stumble and fumble and bumble all over himself.
There's another Quinnipiac poll that came out today. They have a hypothetical matchup between President Biden and Trump. Biden leads Trump 49-44%. That's actually down a point from I think May. He was 48-44%. I bet when you throw in margin of error within that margin, it's pretty much tied.
And that's just those two, right?
Yeah, just those two together.
So if you throw in No Labels Party or somebody like that, then you're probably in a statistical dead heat, right? If you throw in No Labels, which generally pulls from the Democrats.
Yeah.
So
I thought you were talking about some of these candidates that, like Professor Cornel West from the Green Party. The Democrats are talking about him. They're afraid of him. They're looking at him being another Ralph Nader or the woman that ran last time that took votes away from the Democrat. They're worried about Cornel West, I think, because he's black.
Sure.
And he may, you know, have take not sizable, but enough black votes away that they may need them for that margin. So they're afraid of Cornel West.
So is what we're suggesting here to the audience, Chris, possibly the fact that, look, on their own, RFK is not going to beat Biden. Cornel West is not going to beat Biden. But if there's enough other choices that are on the left-hand side of the aisle, they could pull enough support. If like the No Labels Party pops up or other people, Joe Biden could lose this thing because people are so disaffected with him. Yeah. Joe Biden doesn't have enough support and much interest.
If Cornel West or any of the other candidates that would take Democrat votes away from Joe Biden, if any of those candidates get in, the Republican nominee will be the next president. And a lot of Democratic operatives and strategists are staying up at night praying and hoping that that doesn't happen, because, you know, these candidates take away from the Democrat and they, of course, help the Republican nominee.
As I was driving home the other day and they were talking about that political story, folks, this is not a Fox News story. It's not a Newsmax story. It's a political story. Politico definitely leans to the left. It's kind of the Capitol Hill, one of the Capitol Hill gossip rag business columns online. That political story, Chris, where all they were quoting all these Biden aides saying, you know, he can't walk up the normal stairs anymore. Mm-hmm. He's got to wear sneakers. I was thinking of the conversations you and I have had over the last year or so, and I wanted to ask you the question at that very moment. I'll ask you now. Mm-hmm. Do you think there's the possibility, and I wish no harm on the man at all, but do you think that we could wake up sometime over the next 14 months and hear that Joe Biden has passed away peacefully in his sleep and Kamala Harris is going to be president of the United States?
Look, I think, you know, if Joe Biden was 35 years old and was JFK's age, that same scenario could happen. The likelihood is more with Joe Biden, of course, because he's an old man, but older man, let me put it that way. But I would not be surprised if that happened. God forbid, because I can't imagine Kamala Harris, first of all, being president of the United States, representing us on the world stage with that cackle and that laugh. And second, I would be worried about who is in her ear advising her on what to do. We don't know who's advising the president now who has his true ear. Just imagine this inexperienced person being the free leader of the world with God knows who, probably Obama and his minions speaking in her ear.
Do you think behind closed doors to themselves in the inner sanctum of the DNC that's one of their worst nightmares, that Kamala Harris could become president before the end of Joe Biden's first term?
I think they're scared of that, and I think they're scared of that now, because if Republicans were smart, the eventual nominee should do this, and the candidates now should do this. They should be running on the fact of not only running against Joe Biden, but running against Kamala, or President Kamala Harris, if something should happen to Joe Biden. So you really can run against both of them, I think.
Mm-hmm. There you go.
Because she's the, you know, Joe Biden's gone, look who's next.
Mm-hmm. So absolutely.
So run. Joe's 82 years old, and it's not all there.
And even the left is telling us that now. Just read that political story for yourself. All right, there you go. Straight from the consultant's mouth to your ears. We've got to get to a break, Chris. We've got our good man, Zach Smith, standing by.
Can't
We've been saving a lot of questions for Zach this week. So much to discuss about the Biden bribery scheme and that FBI form that has finally been made public, courtesy of Chuck Grassley. Yeah. All kinds of other stuff to dig
into. I got a local question for Zach. It's not just going to be Supreme Court and national
stuff. So. The author of Rogue Prosecutors joining us next on the Tim Jones and Chris Arp Show here at 101.9 News Talk STL. Welcome home.
For podcasts, articles, and more, find us on newstalkstl.com. Anything goes.
So we got some breaking news with regard to former President Donald Trump. The judge in that case, Eileen Cannon, out of Fort Pierce, Florida, has set a trial date for the 20th of May. So that's a good 6 months prior to the election in November, on November 5th, 2024.
And welcome back to the Tim Jones and Chris Arp Show. Tim, it looks like a trial date has been set for the Mar-a-Lago document case. What was that, 24th, did he say?
I think it was May 20th.
May 20th. 2024. That is right in the smack dab in the middle of a presidential election, isn't it?
It is. As a former practicing attorney of 2 decades, I can tell you, though, never consider that a trial is going to happen until it happens.
They
can always get continued. However, Chris, how in the world, well, I guess he's Donald Trump, so mm-hmm. he'll figure something out. How is he going to, like, prepare for these trials, depositions, discovery, making court appearances? I guess that the lawyers can do it all for him, I suppose. And to your point, campaign, have debates, presidential election. Yeah. How insane is the world that we're living in right now?
Well, you know what, Tim? Let's ask our Friday legal eagle what he thinks about that.
Oh, it's all perfectly legal.
Zach Smith, legal fellow with the Heritage Foundation.
You know, I ask you a lot of predictions. Can you predict what the Supreme Court probably will do with this action? And as he does every Friday, our legal eagle screeching in. Zach Smith, how are you, sir?
Good. Good to be with you guys.
Well, you heard the clip coming in. You heard my partner there, Tim, wonder out loud. And what many of us are wondering, how in the world is the president going to prepare for a potential 5 cases against him and run for presidency of the United States?
Yeah, and I think he'll have a few things on his plate in the next couple of months coming mm-hmm. up if those trial schedules hold. But look, Tim's exactly right. This can go when the judge said it in several months. I doubt it will. I think there's a very good chance it could get pushed back. But certainly, you know, this is a very real concern for Donald Trump, his campaign advisors, and his lawyers. Anyone who's ever been to trial, either as a lawyer or as a litigant, will tell you that in many ways it really is an all-consuming process. And I would imagine running for the presidency is the same way, an all-consuming process. And so when you're confronted with these multiple demands on your time, I imagine it will be a very, very difficult. And so we'll have to watch closely and see whether this trial ends up getting pushed to a later date or not.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Zach, meanwhile, on the other side of the coin, the evidence appears to be mounting and appears to be corroborated between various agencies of the federal government that the Biden family, including the president himself, Joe Biden, may have engaged in an international bribery scheme. I mean, I know, Zach, we've been very critical of the DOJ and the FBI and the IRS, but now we have individuals from within those various agencies coming out and agreeing with us that there's problems with those agencies. And one of the biggest problems is they investigate certain people of certain political persuasions, but not of others. And they're starting to corroborate each other, Zach, with this FBI report that was made public, which the IRS whistleblower said, yeah, all of that is true. Zach, there needs to be, look, for whatever Donald Trump may or may not have allegedly done or not done, there should at least be the same interest in investigating similar arguments, especially those that seem to have a lot more weight and veracity when it comes to the Bidens, right?
100%. We've talked about this before, Tim, you and Chris and I, that there needs to be one standard of justice in the United States.
That would be nice.
No one should be treated differently because of, you know, their race, their gender, or who they are related to. And so there were very troubling allegations being made by these whistleblowers. We heard a number of troubling pieces of testimony over the past several days about, you know, what exactly took place with these investigations, the extent to which these investigations appear to have been hampered by higher ups at the Department of Justice. And so, you know, I think it really does paint a stark contrast with what's happened with Donald Trump and his campaign with his post-presidency, where the FBI, the DOJ, we know, based on the Durham report, violated their own policies, procedures, took shortcuts, he didn't really give any weight to potentially exculpatory information and just barreled full steam ahead, trying to, you know, find evidence of collusion with Russia in the lead up to the 2016 election and a host of other things. And to see those allegations laid out in black and white by John Durham and compare them to what we're hearing now with the Hunter Biden investigation, the way that the IRS special agents and others were really, it seems like, hampered in doing their basic investigative task. I think we haven't heard the last of this. I hope and suspect that at some point Congress will require Merrick Garland to come back before them and answer some very serious, very pointed questions about exactly what is going on with this case.
We are speaking with Zach Smith, legal fellow at the Heritage Foundation and co-host of the podcast SCOTUS 101. Zach, there seems to be a constitutional crisis brewing in Alabama. The Alabama Republican-led legislature is refusing to draw a second black district despite a Supreme Court order ordering it to do so. What's next here?
Well, I saw that headline right before we came on the air today, Chris. I haven't looked at the details of what exactly the legislature has done or why it says it's doing that. I suspect there's going to be litigation involved. And what's interesting about these redistricting cases, they use a procedure that really is used essentially nowhere else in American law today. Now, historically, there used to be something called a three-judge district court, and you could appeal their rulings directly to the U.S. Supreme Court, kind of fast-track those cases in many more cases today. But today, that really only exists in a very few instances, and redistricting cases are one of those instances. And so depending on what happens, we could see this case potentially making its way back up to the U.S. Supreme Court in very short order. But I'll certainly be interested to see what the Alabama legislature say, what their justifications are, what their legal arguments are, essentially, for not drawing the second congressional district.
Zach, well, here we go again. Zach, I don't know if you have seen this case yet or not, but another coach has been fired for daring to express his beliefs as to certain topics in this situation, as to the verboten topic of whether transgender athletes should be allowed to participate in the opposite biological gender sport. And as is typically the case, Zach, that's a one-way street. We're once again discussing whether or not a biological male should be competing in a biological female's sport. Zach, there was a coach in Vermont, the snowboarding coach. Apparently that's a sport in certain northern schools. The Vermont snowboarding coach, Zach, engaged in a three-minute conversation with a couple of his athletes where he, according to the complaint, because he's now suing for discrimination, where he basically said, hey, there's differences between men and women, that as a matter of biology, men and women have different DNA that causes them to develop different, so therefore they have differences. It was a three-minute conversation. It was concluded amicably between the coach and a couple of his athletes. The next day, the superintendent of schools fired him and said that he had violated the district's harassment, hazing, and bullying policies. So, Zach, do you think, with given this court's makeup and the decisions they've made on some other religious freedom, liberty, First Amendment right cases, that this coach may eventually be vindicated?
Well, I haven't seen the specifics of this case, Tim, as you said. But look, this is a problem that we've seen time and time again. And I am hopeful, you know, based on the circumstances and the facts of this particular case, that the Supreme Court would take a close look at what has happened and, if appropriate, vindicate his rights. You know, one of the areas that we've seen really come into play recently is an issue of when government employees, it could be high school football coaches, if they're a public school high school football coach, employees of state or local governments, or even some part-time employees at agencies, when they're speaking in their governmental capacity versus when they're speaking in their personal capacity. And what we've seen many state agencies arguing is that essentially anything an employee does, certainly when they're on the clock, but oftentimes even when they're off the clock or could be perceived as representing the governmental entity, these governmental agencies will say that's governmental speech. They have a right to control it. They can discipline someone for saying something that goes against governmental policy, something that someone might find offensive, any of those types of things. What the employees often say is, no, no, no. Look, just because I work for the government doesn't mean I give up my First Amendment rights. I'm certainly still free to express my views and opinions on a host of issues, particularly very important issues, very controversial issues, and certainly issues that are relevant to political issues of the day. And so I suspect that's where a lot of this litigation could focus, is whether he was acting in his governmental capacity, whether what he said could be construed as, you know, within the scope of his employment, potentially governmental speech, or whether he was exercising his own First Amendment rights. And fortunately, we have seen some good case law come down on that in recent years. Obviously, the Coach Kennedy case out of Washington State, the Washington football coach who was fired by the school district for leading a prayer pre and post game there in Washington State. The Supreme Court said the school district there violated his First Amendment rights. And so it'll certainly be interesting to see what the courts do with this. And, you know, Tim, one thing that will be interesting to watch closely is not so much what the U.S. Supreme Court does, but what the lower courts do as they're applying the recent precedent, like the Coach Kennedy case I just mentioned, to these new facts as they emerge.
Got a local case for you, Zach. I want to get your opinion on. We've got a brewing scandal here. A former state representative who was being termed out was running against our St. Louis County executive. Come to find out that the county executive chief of staff made his own Pornhub video, basically, and that got out. It was sent to the state representative who was running against the county executive. He sent it to the media, of course, to embarrass his opponent. A year later now, the female involved is suing him and three other people civilly, saying that he did not have permission to distribute that tape. Is this person liable?
Man, Chris, you guys have far more salacious political stories.
You didn't know we were so exciting out here in hillbilly country, did you, Zach?
I'll tell you what, that's some TV PG-13 stuff, even more than that, right there. But look, again, this goes back to First Amendment issues, and obviously many states have passed these revenge porn laws where if you film someone without their consent, post it or send it, you can potentially be held civilly or even criminally liable in some circumstances for that. Obviously, this is a little bit of a unique circumstance in this case because you have a public official who's running for office. The argument would be, I would think, that this is very pertinent to someone's fitness for office, and so it's important to disseminate this information, even as kind of lurid as it might be. But you know, it'd be very interesting. I'd want to know more about the facts of the case. I'd want to know about Missouri-specific laws in this area. But those are, you know, certainly the tensions that many of these types of cases face. And again, you guys must have very exciting local evening news.
Zach, I tell you, there's one fact that I forgot to tell you is that the Pornhub tape was made in the chief of staff's office at the government building. It wasn't like on their own personal time. This was made at the office. So.
Well, that certainly seems like misuse of government resources.
I would agree with that. Zach, SCOTUS 101 still on hiatus?
Still on hiatus. We do have the initial oral argument schedule set for certain cases. Again, the court's on break until October. So we still have about another month and a half or so before things really get going at the court again. But the court has told us which cases they'll hear right out of the gate. And there's some very big ones up front with the CFPB, the funding structure, whether that violates separation of powers. Some very important Title VII cases as well have been set for argument. And so we'll certainly have a lot to talk about as the Supreme Court ramps up its term again in the fall.
And that means we'll have a lot to talk with you, Zach, in the coming weeks and months. Thank you so much for joining us this Friday, and have a great weekend.
Absolutely. Thanks so much. Take care.
Excellent. Tim, when we come back for Chris's Corner, I want to go into a little bit of this, what we're hearing about Hunter Biden with the scandal with the FBI, the SD-23 or whatever you call it, the sheet that that the whistleblower said that Joe Biden is taking bribes. I'm going to go over some of that information. We'll talk about that on Chris's Corner when we come back. I want to say hello before we go out to my dear friend, Christine Teske, Hazelwood Central, class of 84, my classmate. She is listening through streaming. So thank you, Christine, for listening to the Tim Jones and Chris Arp Show on 101.9 94.1 News Talk STL.
For podcast articles and more, find us on newstalkstl.com.
You've got more bank records coming, more possible government documents. How much do you think the Biden family took in from overseas deals?
I think it's going to easily exceed $25 million. And remember this, they can't say one thing they did to receive this $25 million. And none of these are legitimate businesses that they got money from. They're all from our adversaries around the world, foreign nationals.
Welcome back to the Tim Jones and Chris Arp Show. It is 4:50 Friday afternoon. Joe, you want to know how, I mean, Tim, you want to know how creative, how talented our producer is? He can go from Tony Bennett to Kool & the Gang.
It's amazing.
Oh, that's just, that's masterful.
His music, his musical library spans the generations of time and space.
Tony Bennett
I did karaoke once also. It was Frank Sinatra.
Ah.
He's easy. He's pretty
easy. You did, Frank?
Yeah. My Way. That's the easiest karaoke song you can do in the world.
Well, you kind of got the voice for it, I think. I think you really do. Tony Bennett. How about that, Chris? Passing away at the age of 96.
96.
What a career.
Lived a long life and was also a painter as well. And he will be remembered. He wasn't one of my favorite singers of that era, but I can appreciate his gift. Speaking of gift, boy, gifts. Should put an S to that. Big revelation. Thursday, yesterday, a copy of an unverified tip was released to the media and to through Congress, and we'll talk about that next on Chris's Corner.
Chris.
And if you don't know, now you know.
And now, Chris's Corner.
You know, the tip came from a FD-1023 form, which was a form where whistleblowers give their testimony to the FBI. You know, we hear over and over from the media that this is an unverified tip, but they won't mention in that same sentence that this tip comes from a whistleblower who has been paid $200,000, I think, over the last 10 or 15 years, and he is said to be very reliable. The tip revolves around, of course, the infamous tape that we've heard of Joe Biden bragging about getting investigation stopped, unless, and $1 billion not given to the Ukrainian government unless he was paid off. There is a character that is involved in this investigation, Burisma CEO. His name is Mykolas Zhilkovsky.
God bless you.
I think that's right. He has said that he wanted Joe Biden's help to stop a prosecution of his business, and that he sent millions of dollars to President Biden and to Hunter Biden. And as I said, the source comes from a confidential source, and no one has really questioned the veracity of that source. You know, we heard in that clip, Tim, that close to $10-50 million may have been distributed to the Biden campaign. I think the noose is starting to close on the Bidens, on the Joe Biden and their terrible business dealings. It's all coming out. The FBI has said that the Burisma executive has tapes that he gave millions of dollars to different bank accounts. He had to give $5 million to Hunter, $5 billion to Joe Biden. And it makes you wonder, because a lot of that money has gone to many of these offshore accounts, and these accounts that are connected to the Bidens, where grandchildren are getting being paid money. It almost lines up that this is what's going on. And as we've heard in other tapes, Tim, we don't know what services were rendered for that money. You know, we talked about before Chris's Corner, will Joe Biden make it? Will one day we wake up and he's gone? Will they remove him as president, as the candidate? I mean, this could be one of the scandals that I think can do it. The Democrats have been trying to hide this and trying to push it under the rug. But these high profile hearings and the hearings with the IRS whistleblower, those are two allegations that are huge that they're not going to be able to push under the rug. So it's going to be very interesting coming up here. And that, Joey, is Chris's Corner.
Chris, the question for Americans is, do you respect the work that the federal agencies do, or do you only respect it when it supports your political narrative? So the Democrats can't have it both ways, right? Chris, we're not talking about a Steele dossier, right? We're not talking about a campaign dossier paid for by Donald Trump or Vivek Ramaswamy or Tim Scott for president. We're talking about documents that have come from the IRS, the FBI, from rank and file investigators and agents within those agencies. That's where this evidence is coming from. It's not coming from the RNC.
And I'm so tired of hearing an unverified tip, but they won't talk about the credibility of the person that's giving them that tip. It's just unverified. They have no curiosity on what we said yesterday. Where is all this money coming from? What did you do to earn this money? And no one is asking that question at all. Mm-hmm. They just don't care. They just say it's just a right-wing conspiracy.
And, you know, I think a lot of people on the right are going ho-hum about all this because we've all known about this for two-plus years. We were talking about this back during the Trump investigation of the Ukrainian quid pro quo matter when that video of Biden first surfaced where he says, well, I told those guys, those Ukrainians, that they weren't going to get that $1 billion unless they fired that prosecutor. Folks, that video went viral years ago. Well, now we've closed the loop and everyone agrees, apparently, except for most of the mainstream media, that Joe Biden was allegedly involved in a bribery scheme. Yeah. Now, prove it's not true. Yeah. You know?
Exactly. When we come back, of course, we'll have the speaker stump speech and we'll have Dr. Aaron Hudlin, chief economist at the Show Me Institute. We'll talk to him about some economic matters. You are listening to the Tim Jones and Chris Arp Show on 101.9/94.1 News Talk STL. Rest in peace, Anthony Benedetto, aka Tony Bennett.
For podcast articles and more, find us on newstalkstl.com.